When we show honor, it's not for that person, it's for us. That's one of the greatest revelations my pastor, Pastor Matt Erickson out of Lincoln, that he shared with me a couple years ago when we were sitting down. And I always thought it was weird. My brother had started attending this church a long time ago, and he'd always call this guy Pastor Matt. And I remember telling my brother one time, I was like, you don't have to call him pastor. He's just a guy. He's Matt. And my brother was just like, you know, he didn't give me the time of day. He's like, whatever, you know. And I remember sitting down with Pastor Matt finally years later after hearing stories my brother had told me about him. And I sat down with this man, and I just asked him, I was like, well, why do people in your church call you pastor? Like, do you make them do that? Do you tell them to do that? And he looked at me and he said, it's not for me, it's for them. And he looked at me and he said, I have a pastor in my life too. And he said, if you want the benefit or the blessing of a friendship, we can just be friends. If you just want to be friends with Alex, you can just be friends with me. We'll be friends. You can call me bro. You can call me Alex. That's fine. But if you want the blessing, Pastor Matt told me, of having a pastor, of being undercover spiritually, of having protection, provision, and peace that is supernatural in your life, that's your choice. If you want me to be your pastor, I'll be your pastor. But if you just want me to be your friend, I'll be your friend. He told me that day. And I went home and I prayed about that and I thought about that. And I said, Lord, I realized, Lord, I've never been planted under a spiritual leader before. I've never submitted myself to a spiritual leader before. I've been too prideful all the days of my life. And I've been striving year after year. And I said, I don't want to strive anymore. I want to thrive. I want to be planted in your house. I want to be planted under a spiritual leader. And I said, Lord, I believe you're opening this connection here with Pastor Matt. And so for the first time in my life, I started to force myself to say, Pastor Matt. It hurt my jaw. I just wanted to call him Matt. I just wanted to call him bro. I just wanted to call him buddy. And I had to force my jaw to move and force my vocal cords to do something they didn't want to do. And every time I'd see him, I'd say, hey, Pastor Matt. You know, I had to teach myself and train myself until it got easy. And as it got easier to say it, my life got easier to live. There's a blessing in being planted under a spiritual leader. So, hey, I'm just telling you today, when Jake does that, it's not for me, it's for you. I don't need it. I know who I am. I know I've been called. I know what he's tasked me with in this world. I'm going to do it whether somebody calls me pastor or not. But I know the blessing of when I start to submit myself to a spiritual leader who God has called and placed in my life, and I've seen it. I've seen supernatural provision. I've seen supernatural protection. I've seen supernatural peace in my life. Get planted in his house. He loves you. You're here today. Some of you, you're here today, and you're just like, you think, I can never do that. I don't feel like it. Don't trust the feelings. Trust what his word says. Go back to the word. And as you start to live a life of honor, you'll start to see honor, it changes things. It will open doors in your life that you thought were closed forever, that you thought no man could open, and you were right, no man could open. But when you honor the Lord Jesus, when you place him where he belongs in your life, and you honor those that he has called into leadership positions in your life, guess what? Honor in the Hebrew, it literally meant open the inside door. It opens the heavy door, the door that no man can open on his own. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life today. He wants to open doors that you thought were closed. Take a seat. 2 Timothy. I felt 2 Timothy as we were in worship today because I've been in this place this past week where I got busy and I got tired and I got running around doing things and I wasn't doing the right things first. Sometimes we get going and we stop doing the right things first. Keep the first things first. What's that? Spend time with Jesus. And I got excuses. I got things. My kids were sick. My kids were throwing up. We all got excuses, right? But I just felt this week that we need to get back to keeping the first things first. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says this. The apostle Paul, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. He says this to Timothy. He writes these words, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Paul is mindful of Timothy's tears. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but he knows. They've been communicating. There's tears. Timothy is feeling something right here. There's a sadness. There's a hurt. There's something going on. And I just believe there's some people in here, you're feeling something today. There's a sadness. There's a hurt. There's a brokenness. There's a distraction. There's a worry, and that you're feeling that today. And Paul, he calls to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. I want to do that for you today. I want to call into remembrance for you today. There's a genuine faith that is in you. And the devil's trying to tell you this week, it's not real. It's all fake. If you don't feel it, it's not real. Don't trust your feelings. Faith isn't built on a feeling. Faith, there's moments that faith is born from a feeling. But it's not built on a feeling. I remember being at a conference and hearing somebody preach the gospel. And it was the first time in my life I felt the Holy Spirit come into the room. And I realized God is real. I'd heard it before. I'd heard the stories before. But it was in a moment right there that I felt Him. Faith is born in a moment, but it's built over a lifetime. Don't forget that today. There's moments that it's born, but don't trust your feelings every day for the rest of your life, because if you trust your feelings, you'll be like the ocean, tossed to and fro. Because there's going to be days that you get up and you cry tears and you feel the pain and you feel the hurt and you feel the loss. But call to remembrance the genuine faith in that moment that is in you. There's a great faith inside of you. You might not feel it in this moment. In fact, you might have been in worship today and you might have been looking around and being like, oh, those people, they're feeling it. They're just feeling it. They're experiencing something different. They're experiencing something that I don't have. They got their hands up. They're bowing. They're jumping in worship. Let me tell you something. I didn't feel like doing it today. I didn't come in here being like, man, I just can't wait to get in here and worship. I can't wait to raise my hands. I can't wait to bow on the ground. Trust my feelings. I call to remembrance in these moments faith. I call into remembrance these moments how He's come through in the past, how He's delivered before, and I just say I'm going to choose to worship Him because I might not feel like it today, but I know He's delivered me before. And I build my faith over time. Continue to build your faith. Look back on those moments where He's come through for you, where He's delivered you, where He saved you, where He healed you, and remember those moments. Because there's going to be a day where you don't feel like it. And you're not going to want to raise your hands. You're not going to want to sing. You're not going to want to clap. You're not going to want to jump. But you remember in those moments, faith isn't built on a feeling. So Paul does here. He calls to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. There might be somebody today you need to thank God for, that He placed a Eunice or a Lois in your life that cared enough to take you to church, to pray for you, to love you. Today, there's some of you in here today. You're a Lois. You're a Eunice. You brought your grandkids today. You made them come to church with you today. Mom, grandma, dad, father, brother, you got them to God's house today. Woo, praise God for you. Man of faith, woman of faith, praise God for you today. You're sowing seeds that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the trees that are going to grow. But I'm telling you, you sowed a seed of faith today by getting your kids to the house. I feel the Holy Spirit coming into the room right now. Some of you, you said, I don't feel Him today. You're starting to feel Him. That's Him. You feel Him coming in hot. You feel the fire burning. You feel a numbness in your hands. You feel something coming over your shoulder, something hitting your head. That's the Holy Spirit. He's in here today. And just invite him in this moment. Say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Say it, church. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There's a gift of God in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You got to stir it up. It's like a flame. It's like a fire. Some of you, you're just sitting by the fire and the flame is getting weak. And you're just sitting there like, wow, God's just letting the fire go now. Like, come on, God, keep the fire going. I'm cold. You got a poker right there by the fire. Grab the poker, start stirring the flame. Start stirring the logs. You got logs sitting right there. Start grabbing the logs. Start throwing them on. You got to do something. He invites you in. Stop sitting back and waiting for God to do everything for you. Take a step of faith today. Take a step of faith today. Do something. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would give us a step, that you would show us how to stir the flame today, whether it's through worship, whether it's through your word, that we would get into your word today. And Lord, that we would just sit in your presence, that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that we would just lean in this moment, that we would honor you, that it would stir, that it would fan the flame today. And all of a sudden, what we thought wasn't there, that we thought, what we thought we could never feel again, that we thought that we could never experience it again, that as we lean in and we pick up the logs and we throw them on the fire and we begin to stir the flame, we feel the heat of your presence, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we worship you today. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, in your name we pray. All God's people said. All right, worship team. Go on, take a little break. If you want to be on our worship team, you better have some good cardio. Unless you're a drummer, you can sit the whole time. But those arms, you got to keep those arms in shape, Bill. Keep lifting weights. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, start to stir the flame today. Stir the flame. It's a workout. You don't feel like going to the gym some days, right? Like, you know you should. You don't feel like eating good, but you know you should. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust them. Choices lead, feelings follow. I came in today. I didn't feel like worshiping, but I just said, I know what's good for me. And I know that in his word, it says, if I just lift my hands, if I just lift my voice, if I bow to him in worship, it's because he's worthy. Not because I'm worthy. And so all of a sudden, I get in here and I start to realize worship, we say this a lot, worship is warfare, but worship is a workout. Some people come to our church and they're like, that's a lot of worship. I'm used to churches where it's just like one, two songs, and then, you know, we kind of do some stuff, and we're out in 60 minutes or less. Nah, worship is warfare, worship is a workout. Worship will set you free. Some people walked in here today and there was demonic oppression. Oh, come on now. Get out of here, demons. We laugh, but it's serious. They don't want you to hear this today. They don't want you to worship today. They don't want you here today. They want you at home. They want you in bed. They want you comfortable. They want you feeling good, right? They want you doing the things you feel like doing. But as you begin to work out, guess what? It changes you, and all of a sudden, your feelings follow. You ever notice that? After you do a workout, when you go hard for 30, 40, 60 minutes, all of a sudden, at the end of that workout, you're feeling pretty good. Your feelings changed because you made a choice. Choices lead, feelings follow. If you've never been here, if you've never been in this house before, write that down. It'll change your life. We say it a lot here. If you're taking notes, lean in today. Take notes. Choices lead, feelings follow. Don't let feelings rule your life. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, Paul said, or timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. That's what Paul said to Timothy in that passage. Did you catch that? So if you came in today and you got fear, you got worry, you got anxiety over your life, let me tell you something. That is not the Holy Spirit. There are other spirits at work in this world. And sometimes we just call those things feelings. Sometimes we just call those things our personality. This is just who I am. I was born this way. No, that's a lie from the devil. You were born to be a son of God. You were born to be a co-heir with the king. My goodness, that's what we were born for. Sometimes I got to preach to myself too. That's what we were born for. I feel joy right there, don't you? Don't you feel? That's the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord. Some of you, you've been in religion your whole life, and you just feel like I'm born to be worthless. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and you just keep saying that over and over. No, Pastor Alex. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. Now you're a co-heir with the king, it says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. I was with my pastor friend last night. He's in town visiting from Iowa. We're out playing pickleball, and he asked me, like, what are you going to preach on tomorrow? I'm like, brother, I got to tell you, I got no clue. But I know the Lord's going to show up. I know he's going to show up because he keeps showing up. I'm in a season right now where I keep seeking the Lord all week, and I keep going after him. I keep chasing after him, and I'm just like, Lord, like, what do you want me to say to your people? And he just says, just spend time with me. Just spend time with me. When it's time, I'll tell you what to say to my people. So I'm just praising God right now. There's somebody that came in here today, and he already gave you the word you needed. He just gave it to you right there. You're a co-heir. Break off that identity, that lie that comes from the devil, that he wants to keep you down and in despair and in debt your entire life. No. He wants to prosper you. He wants to advance you. You're a co-heir with Christ. Let me tell you something. Did Christ lack anything? No. He had everything he needed and more. He wants to raise you up in this next season, to prosper you, to advance you, so you can advance the kingdom. There's the true prosperity gospel, and then there's this false prosperity gospel where people have made it, oh, how can I get from God? How can I get from God? Oh, I want to get. So if I just do something, if I just kind of do all these things, I can get from God. That's a false prosperity gospel. But when you just spend time with him and you just begin to trust him and you just begin to say, Lord, have your way in me. Guess what? He does want you to prosper. He does want you to advance, because when the godly advance, when the godly are in control, the righteous will celebrate. The righteous will see that the Lord is good. Let me tell you something today. He wants that in this world. You think he wants the unrighteous having all the provision? You think he wants the devil having everything he wants in this world? No. He wants the godly. He wants to prosper the godly in this next season. And so I just believe there's some of you in here, you're entrepreneurs, you're businessmen, you're businesswomen, you're managers, you're workers. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing. But you've kind of bought this lie of, oh, the prosperity gospel. We got to stay away from that. And what you've bought into is this poverty gospel. And you've just said, no, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Stay humble. Stay humble, stay hungry. Because guess what? When you stay humble and hungry and you honor the Lord, Triple H right there, humble, hungry, honor. There you go. Write that down if you're taking notes. Humble, hungry, honor. Live that out in your life. Guess what? He's going to prosper you. Because guess what? He wants the righteous to have the resources in this world, because he knows the righteous will use it for his kingdom, will use it to help the poor, to bring the lost into salvation, to bring those who are far from him into his house. And so we're in a season of prosperity. In the spring season, I'm telling you, he's giving you seed right now. Don't just hold on to it, because he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You don't want to be an eater. You want to be a sower. Because when you begin to sow, when you begin to let that seed go out and you begin to plant it, guess what happens? The crops are going to be greater than just one loaf of bread. He wants to give you more. Not so you can use it for your own selfish gain, but so you can advance his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, it says in Matthew. You want to be a part of that? I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the greatest move of God that we've ever seen in our country. I want to be a part of that. Don't you want to be a part of that today? It's fun. You can lean into that today. When Jake was up here and he was talking about giving, he's talking about tithing and sowing. There's some of us in here and we're like, oh, it's just a religious duty. It's just something people, the church always wants you to do it. No, no, no. You get to do it. Because when you sow, you reap. But we don't give to get. You can't control, you can't manipulate God. Don't try that. That's that false prosperity gospel. But it's a biblical principle. When you sow, you reap a harvest. And you just trust Him. You trust Him. He's good. All right, let's get to the scripture I had for today. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Open up your Bibles. Hey, if you want notes, text Rev Notes to 94,000. I know I haven't done notes in a while. Some of you are like, praise the Lord. I can't move around as fast as you're moving sometimes. I know. Here you go. Here's the scriptures I'm planning on being in. I say planning loosely. Sometimes He takes me another direction. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man. Understand that. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's this idea of meditation in our world that comes from other religions. To meditate literally meant to chew on. Now, some of these other religions today would say to meditate is just to empty your mind, to clear your mind. Yoga, Hindu, Buddhism, whatever it is. Get that out of your mind right now. Get that out of your mind right now. Every other religion, it's just a counterfeit of God's. And so, from the very beginning, He's been talking about what meditation really is. It's to chew on His word, to chew on His presence. Like a cow chews the cud. That's what that word was describing. It's to take something about Him, take a passage, take a word, take Psalm 1 this week and just chew on it, meditate on it, think on it, open it up and pray over it. Just talk to Him, listen to Him, and begin to read it every day this week. There you go. If you're taking notes, write that down. Psalm 1, every day this week, meditate on it, chew on it. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. Don't you want to be blessed? Well, what do the blessed do? They delight in the law of the Lord. They don't hate the law of the Lord. They don't scorn the law of the Lord. They don't mock the law of the Lord. No, no, no. They don't look for little loopholes in the law of the Lord. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees, they were taking the law of the Lord and they were looking for loopholes for themselves so they could hold power and prestige. That's what the Pharisees did. That's why Jesus was so hard on them, called them a brood of vipers. No, no, no. We delight in the law of the Lord. We know that we are saved by grace. We're saved by the blood. We're saved by the cross. And now we walk in obedience because He's been so good to us and because we know we want to walk in the blessing. Don't you want to be blessed this week? Change your language also. You're not lucky, you're blessed. Sometimes there's too many of us in here. We just use that language because we've been taught that language in our culture. Oh, you're just lucky. Oh, you're so lucky. No, no, no. If somebody ever tells you you're lucky, say, no, no, no. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm the Lord's man. I'm the Lord's daughter. I'm blessed. I've been noticing that. I changed my language for a while, but in these past couple weeks, we've been playing this card game with our kids, and it's pretty fun, but there's moments where, you know, bad things happen in cards, and somebody gets mad. And I just kind of noticed myself using the wrong language with them, and I just would say, like, oh, that's bad luck, or that's not lucky, or that is lucky. And the Lord corrected me. I have to change my language. But then I thought, well, how do I sit there in this game, and how do I say one kid is blessed but another is not? How do we sit here in life and say one person is blessed and another is not? No, no, no. You're blessed when the sun is shining and when the rain is falling. It just might not be your season. It might not be your season, but your season's coming. Your season's coming. Your season's coming. You might be looking at somebody being like, the sun is always shining on them and I'm living in the rain cloud. But let me tell you something, your season's coming and the rain brings life. Oh, the rain brings life. The seed won't grow without rain. The rain will come. The water's going to flow. And let me tell you something, the seed is going to bring life. That's what the Lord is doing right now. Change your language. That's a revelation. He just gave me that revelation right now. There you go. Praise the Lord. You're not lucky. You're blessed. In the rain and in the sun, you're blessed. He might be teaching you a different lesson. He's teaching one of our kids how to win with dignity. He's teaching one of our kids how to lose well. Those are hard lessons. And then sometimes the next game, he switches it and it doesn't go so well. You're not used to the rain. You got to get used to the rain. Because the rain and the sun come from the Lord, and we praise the God. We praise God for both. Hey, let's just pray for a minute. Put your hands up to him. I don't know what season you're in. Lord Jesus, we praise you right now. I praise you for a daughter that's sitting in here who's sad about the rain coming down on her life. And I just pray that she would see the rain as a blessing from you, that you're doing something in this season to protect her from the heat of a sun that would scorch her that she's not ready for. That in due season, as she begins to grow and come up out of that dirt and the sun hits her, she'll be ready for it. And it's going to be a blessing. And Lord Jesus, I pray for a son in this place right now who's walking under your light, who's walking in the truth. I pray that in this season that he'd remember to praise you. That he wouldn't try to take credit or glory for himself, but he would just praise you and know that you're the Father, you're the Creator, you're the Provider, and that all good things come from you. Lord Jesus, we just praise you. In your name we pray, amen. Man. He shall be like a tree. Verse 3. The blessed man, he shall be like a tree. What do we say? We talk about Psalm 92 a lot in this house. If you're new to this house, you're getting the DNA of the house right here. Write down Psalm 92. Read Psalm 92. Meditate on Psalm 92 this week. He wants you to be blessed. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When you're in his house, you're a tree planted by the rivers of water. So that way, even when it feels like the sun is beating down and there hasn't been rain in a while, and you know you need water, as your roots continue to grow down deep in him, guess what? They're connecting to the water source that's next to you. You're planted in his house. Some of you, you've been outside of his house for too long and you feel dried out. You've been in the sun and you're like, man, this isn't good. I don't want the sun anymore. I need water. I need living water. Get planted in his house. That's what the house is for. When you show up, it says he comes down. He dwells in the midst of his people. There's rivers of living water flowing through this room today. And some of you, you've been feeling it today. Some of you, you've been here. You've been planted for a while. You felt it. You felt the blessing. Now, some of you, the blessing will become normal after a while. Don't take it for granted. Because you'll begin to say, I don't need him. I'm good. I can take a Sunday off. I can take a small group off. I can take a Wednesday night off. I don't need to go to encounter. I don't need to go to prayer. I don't need that, and I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And before you know it, you're not planted in his house anymore. You've been uprooted by the devil. Don't take for granted what God is doing for those who are planted in his house. There's a blessing. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the one who's planted in his house. You're planted by the rivers of water. There's always a source of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Some of you, you're seeing the fruit of somebody else's season right now. You're comparing your season to theirs. They're in a harvest season. You're in a sowing season. You haven't even sown what God has given you, but you think you deserve to reap a harvest. But let me tell you something. You've been holding on to seed and living off of seed. Let me tell you, I go to a lot of softball games in the summer. My daughter plays softball. I eat sunflower seeds. And it's a problem. I eat a whole bag in like two games. Am I satisfied? No. No. Like at the end of those games, am I like, oh man, that was a good meal. Like I don't need to eat the rest of the day. No, I'm like, Lord, I need some Chipotle now. And I'm always, we get in the car, me and Harper, and I'm like, you want to go get Chipotle? And she's like, yeah, let's go, Dad. That's it. The seeds don't satisfy. Some of you, you've been holding on to something that doesn't satisfy, but if you would just trust him with it, and if you would just sow it, guess what? You're going to reap a harvest. But you're holding on tight because you keep seeing what everybody else has, and you're like, I need more. And you keep clenching tighter and tighter, but you don't realize those people are reaping a harvest in this season, and they're fruitful in this season because they sowed in the last season. You got to sow now. You got to sow. You got a chance to sow. You got a chance to sow today. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. When we started this church, you know how much money I was making? $0. $0. I don't care about your money. I was called to do this. My wife and I, we were called to do this. We had a little bit of fear in us back in that day. And we were like, can't we do this? Should we do this? And I'd been fired from the church I was previously at. And I looked at my wife and I said, what's the worst thing that happens? If it doesn't work, I'm right back where we started. No paycheck, no money. I don't care about your money. I care about you being blessed. I want you to be blessed today. I want you to reap a harvest. I want you to reap in the next season. So sow right now. Sow a seed into God's kingdom. Because let me tell you something. It's eternal. It's never going to end. It is everlasting. And there's a blessing that is supernatural that cannot be explained. Sow that seed. I've been in so many churches where people would get up and they'd you know, talk about the offering, and they would just be like, they'd be so apologetic. Listen, I hope you're not offended. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm just like, no, like, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because let me tell you something. It's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to give. We want you to be blessed when you leave here today. We want you to live in the blessed life. Some of you, you're experiencing that already. Some of you, you were struggling in different areas of your life, and you came and you got planted in the house, and you began to sow seed into the house, and you've already seen supernatural. You've seen miracles. You've seen wombs open. You've seen miracles and healing, and you've seen provision supernaturally come into your storehouse, and it doesn't make sense to the world. Some of you, we got one man in here, he testifies to this. His income, since he began coming to Revival, it literally tripled within 3 years. From 50 to 100 to 150,000 in 3 years. And he doesn't say that. He doesn't tell you that to be like, look at me. He says, that's the blessing of the Lord. That's the blessing of the Lord. What can he do in your life? He didn't do it so that guy could get a nice car. Do it. And God doesn't care, like, guess what? Like, sometimes we beat ourselves up in the church. Like, oh, I got to drive a Honda Civic, and you know, I got to live in like a, you know, a shack and all that. It's like, no. You can have good things and still sow and be generous. Sometimes we look at people and we're like, oh, they got so much money. They got so many nice things. You don't know what they gave. You don't understand the seed that they sowed. The seed they sowed was bigger than you could ever imagine. And so if they want to drive that car, let them drive that car. Be happy for them. Because maybe God wants that for you too. They're sowing seeds into the kingdom that you don't know or understand. And because guess what? You can play the comparison game all the way around. You can look and be like, oh no, I'm so spiritual. I'm so righteous. I drive a Honda Civic and I live in a little shack, you know, and I do all these things. Well, your little shack here in America, it looks like a mansion to somebody living in Africa. Everybody can play that game. Don't play the game. Don't play the comparison game. Get into the Word, listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. If he calls you to give something up, give it up. If he calls you to sell your car, if he calls you to sell your house, if he calls you to do something, listen to his voice. But don't do it because you're worried about what the world's going to think. Don't worry about doing it because, oh, I want people to think I'm really spiritual. Don't worry about playing the comparison games. Don't get caught up in that. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In 3 John, John says this, I pray, beloved, that you would prosper in all things and in your health, just as your soul prospers. Above all things in this house, we want your soul to prosper. That's what we care about. We want the soul of those people that come into this house to prosper, to advance, to move forward. When you're coming into this house in the very beginning, you might feel a brokenness. You might feel just, man, just something is not right and something is just, it's just darkness inside of you. And I'm just believing if you'll get planted in his house, he's going to heal your soul. That's our prayer above all things. That's why we sow into the kingdom of God, because we want to see people's souls healed, saved, delivered. God cares about the soul above all else. And then we want to see your body healed. And then we want to see you prosper in every area of life. That's what John is saying there. But above all else, first and foremost, we want to see your soul prosper, to advance, to heal, to come into alignment with God. And that means first submitting yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord and inviting the Holy Spirit in to do a good work in you. Our worship team, they're going to come up right now. And our ministry team is going to be up here. Myself, some of the other pastors will be up here. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I just want to encourage you today. Just take this moment today. Take this moment to take a step forward in the natural, and it will change things in the spiritual. When you take a step of faith in the natural, it will change things in the spiritual. And if you'll just come forward today and just tell somebody, hey, listen, I've never done this before. I've never given my life to Jesus, but I want to prosper. I want to advance. I want to move forward. I want my soul to be healed from what's been afflicting me. If you want to receive healing, salvation, deliverance today, you got a chance to do that. He wants that for you. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They're blown around by the chaff. They're blown around by the wind. They're blown around by their feelings. The ungodly, they're blown around by their feelings. They go this way and that way. Whatever the world is telling them, oh, this is popular over here. You should believe this. Oh, now this is popular over here. Oh, you can trust this over here. Let me tell you something. The word doesn't move. The word is our foundation. The word is our rock. The word is what we build our faith on. And so when the winds of this world try to blow our feelings all around and get them all mixed up and turned in a different direction, we hold on to the word of the Lord. And we say, no, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to meditate on your word. I'm going to open it. And I know that your word is living and active, and you're going to speak to me today. And I just believe he's been speaking to some of you today, and he's given you the chance, he's given you the opportunity to say, Lord, I want you to be my foundation. Jesus, you're the word become flesh. Lord, I want to hold on to you. Will you be my rock today? Make him your rock today. Would you stand up as we close this out? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 16:33 says this, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. We don't know what a lot is. Let me tell you in the NLT what he's saying there. Proverbs 16:33 says this, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. You're not lucky or unlucky. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're planted by streams of living water. You're blessed. In the sunshine, in the rain, I want to tell you something today. You're blessed. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. He sees you. He wants you to walk in the blessing and not the curse. He wants you to know that you're blessed. Don't let bitterness rule in your heart today. If somebody hurt you, if somebody harmed you, if somebody did you wrong, forgive them today. Don't live in bitterness. He wants you to walk in the blessing today. Some of you, you're looking at your circumstances and you've grown bitter towards God, and you need to forgive God today. You need to release that bitterness and that anger that you feel towards the Lord today. Forgiveness isn't for the person, it's for you. Forgiveness isn't for God today, it's for you. You need to forgive, you need to release him, because your life hasn't worked out the way you thought it should. Begin to thank him for the rain. Begin to thank him for the storms you've been through. Begin to thank him because it's fortified you. It's strengthened you. It's grown roots down deep where nobody else could see. You didn't even see. But now you realize that he's growing you up and you're breaking out of the dirt today. And you're beginning to see the sun shine for the very first time over your life today. And you're beginning to see that he is good, that he is for you, that you're a son, that you're a daughter, that you're a co-heir. You might have started out as a sinner saved by grace, but he's raising you up. Where are you seated today? You're seated in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Raise your hands today if you want to receive that. Lord Jesus, we just pray in your name. Jesus, we pray that we would remember our identity, that we are seated in heavenly places with you. Lord, that the devil is under our feet, that we walk in dominion in this world. Lord, I pray that this will be a church that prospers, that advances, that goes forward in your name, that we advance the gospel, that we move it forward, that we use and leverage our resources, that we steward everything you give us to advance your kingdom so that others may know who you are, what you've done, what you've called them out of to, out of the darkness and into your glorious light. Lord, we praise you right now in Jesus' name. Let's praise, church. Let's praise. Come on.